Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. Kia ora tātou. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And it's Waitangi weekend, and I hope that the weather holds out and that people have a good relaxing time, and it's an opportunity to just consider how we get along together with our treaty partner. And so those of you who haven't gone to marae or haven't investigated a visit to a marae, this is a really good time to do it, because many marae open their doors to the public and provide entertainment and a wonderful outing for the day. So just look online and you will find where to go and who's offering what. We have with us today our very special guest, Jackie Knight, from the Moths and Butterflies New Zealand Trust. So I'm delighted to introduce her, because Jackie's been on our program before, but not recently. And as a founding trustee of the Moths and Butterflies New Zealand Trust, which she started 20 years ago, she's really pioneered so much mahi, so much intriguing work in education with young people, science projects and investigation, just developing observation skills of young children in gardens and so on through these projects, and was instrumental in returning the New Zealand Red Admiral to our midst. And so that project 2 years ago got going, and people got very aware again of this beautiful butterfly. So welcome, Jackie.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Nice to be with you.
Yes, and it is Butterfly Week coming up on the 9th to the 20th.
That was actually
one of my reasons for inviting you. So if you'd like to tell us more about the purpose of Butterfly Week and what you aim to achieve through having this week.
Excellent. One of the intentions is that we raise awareness of New Zealand's butterflies and moths. Mm-hmm. And we'd started out with an actual week, but it then became 1.5 weeks, because schools were saying that they couldn't fit something in the project in last week, so could they do it next week? So now it goes from the 9th to the 20th. And we're urging everybody to sit in their garden or park or schoolyard for 15 minutes and do a butterfly count, which just raises awareness of the different species that you might see in your garden or habitat, and which are missing, because people are saying this year that there are so fewer monarchs flying around these days, which is very sad.
Yes, I 5 years ago moved to the upper North Shore, and one of the things that intrigued me was the large numbers of monarchs that I enjoyed watching fly around as I did my daily walks. But I have noticed that they aren't there in anything like the numbers. Yeah,
it's so sad. And the interesting thing is, I think that if people aren't noticing monarch butterflies, if you look out on a garden, you can see monarch butterflies, or you can't see them, but you can't see all our other native insects that might be flying around. You don't notice them. So if you don't notice that they've gone, then how are we going to protect them?
Ah, yes, indeed. And this brings me to the question about diversity of species. Because that's one of the things that I've learnt through my association with the Butterfly Trust, through reading your beautiful newsletters that come through the email. Can you tell us more about just what a range of species we have in New Zealand?
Yes, we don't have a huge number of butterfly species. We have 6 or 7 that might get blown over here from Australia every summer when we have a cyclone. But apart from that, there might be 17 or 18 different species, and then I think about 6 or 8 of those are only found in the mountains or really remote areas like our beautiful forest ringlet. But 93% of our butterflies and moths are only found in New Zealand. And that's amazing, a very high percentage of our Lepidoptera, that's what you call butterflies and moths. It's quite a huge rate of endemism, these difficult words to say, Anne-Marie.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes, so 93% are unique to New Zealand. And so that gives us a very big duty of care to look out for these insects and to make sure they have a future.
Exactly, yes, we've got to look after them.
And I guess if you don't know what they look like and you haven't seen them, then you can't protect them, or you're not motivated to protect them.
That's right, exactly, yeah. I mean, people who grew up in New Zealand recognise a kauri tree and a kereru and a kōwhai tree, but people, especially from that are recent settlers, they don't know what these various native flora and fauna. So it's going to be even harder as the population increases from immigration. Then we're losing our national identity. You know, we hear of these problems that are being caused with people taking sea life from around the beaches, and it really does concern me that we are losing our beautiful native species.
Yes, and it's all the more reason why the education in schools is so important, and this is the work that the Trust does that I think is of extraordinary value. And so looking at open space, I mean, open space is so important for health, and we've learnt that. It's now very well researched. The proportion of open space to concrete and surfaced and buildings and so on really impacts on our longevity of life and the quality of life that we have. So with butterflies and moths, I mean, they're affected in open space by all sorts of aspects. And I wondered if you'd like to sort of outline some of the advocacy work that you do around improving habitat for moths and butterflies in open spaces.
Yes, well, myself, I'm working in the local park, the Blockhouse Bay Recreational Reserve, to create some habitat. And people are getting a lot of pleasure out of seeing the butterflies flying across the path as they go through the park. It's so easy to do something in your corner of New Zealand, and you know, people are noticing. We had a meeting last night of the FOU, because this is my area, FOU local board, of people working on conservation projects. There's so many projects going on now to look after their part of New Zealand. One thing that we're working on is contacting local government channels to say, please plant more for pollinators, because sometimes the choice of plants, even though they can look quite attractive in council gardens, they're not only pretty, but they could also have that added benefit of being planted for pollinators as well. So it's just important to think about what's going on in nature. We are a part of the environment. We're not, the environment isn't a specialist subject, but you know, a lot of people think, well, what does it matter about what's growing outside our place? But you know, there's people out there looking for pest plants and pest animals and controlling them. It's all good stuff, and it's so healthy to be out there doing those sorts of projects.
But equally well, there are lots of small steps that can be taken, things like having no-mow lawns rather than having grass that you clip so close that you chop out so the easy, environment of the insects.
Exactly. They can all be done. We've got a couple of volunteers doing wonderful work as I said, working on the NOMO, just gathering up knowledge about NOMO and then getting it out there so other people know about it.
Mm. And it could save a lot of time and energy in people's lives that they could devote to other things.
And resources as well. Yeah,
yes, and certainly with parts and reserves, the mowing is a major cost.
Yeah,
major cost. Could be reduced.
That's another added benefit.
Mm, that money could be returned into more pest control.
Yes.
Mm. One of the things that I know you've been concerned about is the invasive wasps. We have a number of species of wasps in New Zealand, but there are four or five invasive species that are growing and spreading rapidly. And maybe you'd like to tell us more about that.
Yes, well, people give wasps a bad name. They say, I hate wasps. But there's almost 2,000 species of wasp flying around in our environment that do a really good job of pollinating or, decomposing. When I say rubbish, I don't mean our human rubbish, but I mean where the plant discards leaves and things. So those wasps are doing a great job, but there's five or six now species of wasp which are decimating our caterpillars. These wasps need to find protein to feed the juvenile wasps, and so they're looking for caterpillars. So that's why our monarch population has plummeted, and also, even though people don't recognise our beautiful red admiral butterfly, that population has no doubt plummeted as well because of the wasps harvesting protein to feed the juvenile wasps. So we really need to find these nests and eliminate them to reduce that bad effect on our native insects. I've heard of wasps actually killing wetter, which is a New Zealand native insect, and also baby birds in their nests. So, I mean, that's shocking. And people get stung by them as well, and horses and dogs do as well, which is not good.
Mm. And is there information on the butterfly's website about how to go about dealing with wasp nests, for example? Because I think sometimes people know that it's a good idea to get rid of these, but they don't feel confident. Yeah,
that's right. Yes, there's resources. We've got a search engine on our website, so it's nzbutterflies.org.nz. And when you go there, you can just search on wasps or nectar sources or any of those keywords and find out information that there's a very good page on there, I think, called Frequently Asked Questions or FAQ, which gives you an idea of how you can help, and it answers the most commonly asked questions.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, I know that you're down in Christchurch and you're concerned about in open space actually preventing damage by rats. And I was intrigued by what I heard from you about this. So maybe you can talk more about how do you encourage people to deal with rats.
Right. So in the winter, monarch butterflies go into diapause, which means they won't breed until the spring.
Mm-hmm.
As the days get shorter and the temperatures get colder. And so they go into diapause and overwinter, and they usually gather in huge numbers in parks. Now, we've found that some of those overwintering trees are being inhabited by rats. And to stop that from happening, some people in Christchurch have actually put bands, steel bands around the trees so that the rats can't climb the trees and get at the monarch butterflies. And that's been a great initiative of people down in Christchurch to do that, and probably other trees as well. I know one of the groups in Christchurch are actively monitoring the overwintering trees near them. And they say that the bands have certainly helped to stabilise the monarch population last winter.
Oh, that's really exciting news, because our program gets listened to by all sorts of people in all sorts of places, because, as you know, it becomes a podcast once it's been on air, and so it can be picked up through just Googling Senior Focus Auckland. And you can click straight on to the program. So I will send you the link just so that you can send it through your network.
Marvellous.
And anybody can listen, and it can be used for any promotional purpose. So lobbying councils is a big job, and it's something that you have to do frequently. How do you systematically keep up with this, because you're dealing with such a large number of councils throughout the country?
Exactly. So hats off to Linda Emery and Jeanette, who are doing an awesome job of contacting councils and writing to them and emailing them and sending them information. I don't know how they do it, but it's lovely to have people volunteering to help with those sorts of issues, and we're making progress. You know, councils seem to be responding very well to the inquiries, and Linda puts together a package and sends it back to them, so I really do appreciate the effort that they're putting in.
Yes, well, that might be spur other people on to think that that's a way they can volunteer. But I was also thinking that in this particular space, I can recall, wearing another hat of mine, I can recall sitting at Auckland Council at a council meeting and watching a presentation you delivered to the councillors about the importance of Auckland having a butterfly house.
Mm-hmm.
And at that stage, there was one being created at Settlers Retirement Village, or inside the village, and the men's shed were constructing it and volunteering their time. That's right. And that's become a great resource for children to visit and so on. But this was more like a request to actually have an official butterfly house that could be a tourist attraction and could also be used for educational purposes in another part of the city. So I wondered, how's that gone? Because people like Desiree Simpson and Councillor Simpson were very taken with the presentation, I recall. And asked very searching questions, and even some people were keen. Angela Dalton at that stage was very keen on a particular site that she was aware of that could perhaps house a butterfly house, but I've not really heard any conversation since that time.
No, it's something we need to follow up, and we're still very keen to have that idea. What we've been doing in the meantime is we have our project, as it were, the National Butterfly Centre, in three or four different locations. Like, a lot of people come to my house here to pick up information or pick up resources or to find plants. Also, people come and visit the habitat in the Blockhouse Bay Recreational Reserve. So that's another aspect that we'd love to have at the National Butterfly Centre. And then we're also breeding the Red Admirals in another private garden in New Lynn. So we, at the moment, not having found a site and not having found a corporate sponsor to work with us on that, we're continuing with what we'd like to be doing at the National Butterfly Centre, but in several different locations, all tied in together, as it were. We'll get there eventually, Anne-Marie. I'm determined to see that National Butterfly Centre launched, because it's just such a resource that would really open the eyes of schools and children and adults. People could come there and learn how to pot up plants with and use those skills for their own garden.
Yes, indeed.
I'm certain it's got to happen.
And I was thinking about this on my recent visit to the Botanic Gardens in Manukau City, as we referred to it in old days, but that sort of location in Hill Road off the motorway.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a magnificent site, and they've done some brilliant work around educating it's people lovely. About climate change, yes. About edibles, about raised beds. And I thought, well, look, the natural adjunct to all of this would be to have a butterfly house, surely.
Yes, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
So, I hope some councillors from South Auckland are listening. But there's something that intrigued me when I looked at your website, that you have an online course now. So people who want to make their garden a habitat for butterflies can get themselves trained up.
Yes, that's right. It's so easy to do, and we get wonderful feedback. A 9-year-old girl did it a few weeks ago, and she drew a map of her. She followed the instructions on the course to design her garden for her parents or her family, and she just loved the course. So it's really easy for anybody to do it, and only costs $30. So it's very much appreciated, that course material. It's mostly visual, so people flick through the slides, as it were, or the PDF on their phone or digital device while they're travelling to and from work, or on public transport, of course, or snatch a 10-minute break. And I think it takes about half an hour to actually do the whole course.
Wow.
So you can whiz through it quite quickly, really, or you can spend longer on it and think about things if you wanted to.
And then do you have the resource to go back to? Do you download it and you can go back to it?
That's correct. You can either store it on your own, or you can, at any time, you can come back to the material online.
Wow. That's something I could actually do over Easter.
What a good idea.
Well, I've got to redesign my garden in May.
Yeah.
Because it's pruning time, and it's time to think about what to remove and what to refresh and so on. And so I could do that with having done the course. So I could shape my thinking up. Yes. You're good. Okay, so other resources that the Trust produces, I think, are invaluable for schools for educational purposes. And many of these resources, I gather, are being translated into Te Reo. So maybe you can outline what are some of the educational resources that you have for teachers to use.
Well, there's quite a number there on our website, and we're always trying to find more. We want to get more translated into Te Reo if we can, but it can be, once again, we're just a volunteer organisation, so we do need to be learning more about Māori translations and meanings and things before we go too far on that. I'd hate to get things wrong. It has to be accurate. And we've been actually advertising for somebody who can support us with communications in Te Reo. We've had it's only a volunteer position, but it's been advertised for some months now, and we haven't had any applications from somebody who's proficient in our other language, so maybe that will happen this year, Anne-Marie. I'd love it if it did.
Well, I was just thinking about the new Māori school that's been set up in Parnell in Auckland. It's a brand new venture, and it's aimed towards producing excellence in students, and have the students actively learning through using institutions like museums and art galleries and so on, and also communicating with students in other countries. It's a really, really dynamic and exciting development. Now, I happen to know the principal of this school, and have worked with him over the years. So, and he is a local board member in Henderson Massey, and has been on the Henderson Massey board for quite a few years. So, That's Will Flavel. And so I will undertake to approach him to see what kind of arrangements could be made.
Wonderful.
For the students to, and it's part of their science study, to perhaps get involved and provide some extra help with some of the resources.
That would be wonderful.
Because some of them will be doing their learning in Te Reo, and maybe they could be doing that translation as much as any other translation. I'm sure there's possibilities, yes.
Mm.
And I think the thing that really struck me when I got to grips with all the wonderful newsletters that come out was what an exciting thing it is to have the trust to belong to, and what members get, and how you could gift belonging to the trust to a young student at school who showed interest in butterflies. If you've got a niece or a nephew, you could give them a gift of belonging to the Butterfly Trust.
Sounds like a great idea. Yes, we do. From time to time, we do have gift memberships, and people in return receive our four issues each year, each season. I'm working right now on the autumn one, which is sad to say, isn't it? We're losing our summer.
Mm.
But so they receive the magazine, either they read it online, and that costs $40 a year, so $10 per issue is not much, is it really, when you think about it, and or $50 to receive it in the mail. And people just learn a lot about not only our butterflies and moths, but what's happening in New Zealand to look after them. And we share new discoveries with them, new projects, and people always give me great feedback about our magazines.
Mm. Oh, they are. They're very professional, and they're very exciting and vibrantly coloured. So they're quite a delight to enjoy, and especially on a dull day in the winter. So if people want to go ahead and join the trust, what's the quickest way they can do that?
I think using the join button on our website, and probably the easiest way to get to our website is just use the short form of our website, MB, so that's M for moths, B for butterflies, .org.nz, and that takes you straight to our website. It is the short form which is printed on our tags of our tagging project. You've got all the headings and things there, and the join button shows up and the donate button. So that's probably the easiest way, mb.org.nz.
Wow, thank you so much. We've learnt heaps, and I'd like to have you on the show. So we will have you back in August around Māori Language Week time. So
wonderful, Anne-Marie.
That'll be exciting. And thank you for all your input over 20 years, because you've done such a lot for New Zealand. And I really just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Farewell to everyone. I hope that you'll tune in this time next week, because we've got more exciting shows. Bye for now. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.